like to turn to three well-known passages of scripture. The first in the book of Genesis in chapter 2. Book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8. And Jehovah alone planted a garden in Eden eastward, and there put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground Jehovah alone made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, and the tree of life in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 15. And Jehovah alone took man and put him into the garden of Eden to till it and to guard it. And Jehovah alone commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou shalt freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest of it thou shalt certainly die. And just a verse or two in Acts 17, verse 30. God therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, now enjoins men that they shall all everywhere repent, because he has set the day in which he is going to judge the habitable earth in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed, giving the proof of it to all in having raised him from among the dead. And last of all, in Luke 16. Gospel of Luke in chapter 16 and verse 19. Now there was a rich man, and he was clothed in purple and fine linen, making good cheer and splendour every day. And there was a poor man by name Lazarus, who was laid at his gateway, full of sores, and desiring to be filled with the crumbs which fell from the table of the rich man. But the dogs also come in, licked his sores. And it came to pass that the poor man died, and that he was carried away by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, lifting up his eyes, being in torments, he sees Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he crying out said, Father Abraham, have compassion on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am suffering in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, recollect that thou hast fully received thy good things in thy lifetime, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted here, and thou art in suffering. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm is fixed, so that those who desire to pass hence to you cannot, nor do they who desire to cross from there pass over unto us. And he said, I beseech thee then, Father, that thou wouldest send him to the house of my father, for I have five brothers, so that he may earnestly testify to them, that they also may not come to this place of torment. But Abraham says to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. But he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one from the dead should go to them, they will repent. And he said to him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, not even if one rise from among the dead, will they be persuaded. These three scriptures came to my mind. I think it's always important to start with our condition and how we're viewed in God's sight. And here, very second chapter of the Bible, the very beginning of this world, time as we know it, we have to go back to this period in time to realise that we're sinners. Think in the previous chapter how God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and how he could say it was good, and it was very good. Think of God's creation, the perfection of it. We had in the reading today about God's ways with mankind, but we think about his purposes, his counsels. He allows certain things to happen, but possibly because of man's waywardness. But here we have God, Jehovah Elohim, planted a garden in Eden. I believe it's referred to as paradise. And how we have these trees here, and they're set in the midst of the garden. And the tree of life in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I think later on in chapter 3 it talks about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil also being in the midst of the trees of the garden. I don't think we're told, but the fruit of the tree of life, it's possible that Adam and Eve would have eaten off this tree. And here was Adam in innocence, not knowing good and evil, as Satan alludes to later on. But think of how God had communion, had dealings with his creature. Here we have in verse 16, Jehovah alone commanded man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou shalt freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt need not eat of it. God told Adam what he was not to do, and alas, we all know what happened, how the serpent, more crafty than any animal of the field which Jehovah had made. How the serpent, Satan, deceived Eve. But Adam, he was disobedient. And we have, therefore, days of innocence over. And how Adam is head of first order of man, how his condition has passed to each one of us. And that's inescapable. However good men might think they are, we've each sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether it's in a big way or a little way, probably many times each of us. And in God's sight, there's a distance. And here we have various judgments on Adam and Eve and on the serpent. Prior to that, how they clothed themselves in the animal skins. How they were covered, being said many times before, no doubt, but how they were covered, their sinnership was covered at this time by the animal skins, the sacrifice of animals. How this looks on to the Lord Jesus and what he would go through. And then Jehovah Elohim said, "Behold, man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he stretch out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." And how he guarded the tree of life, guarded the way to the tree of life. Think how miserable man would have been in this condition of being able to live forever, but not being able to do much good and prone to much evil, which is the state, I believe, of mankind at the moment, of our hearts, the natural man. God allowed all this to come in. Surely there's something far greater in mind for souls, so that we might come to know his heart of love. We might come to know what kind of God he is. But it is most vital that we can trace our condition back here, or we can at least realise our condition, which can be traced back to Adam. I read then in Acts 17. Here we have Paul came across a place here where they had an altar which was inscribed to the unknown God. And how he says that God's not far from each one of them. Think of God knowing each one of us, knowing what's going to happen in our lives going forward. Think even more searching it might be. "For the word of God is living and operative and sharper than any two-edged sword, and penetrating to the division of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, and the discernment of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is not a creature unapparent before him, but all things are naked and made bare to his eyes, with whom we have to do." Might not know it, but God, he knows everything about us. And most importantly of all, he knows our state before him, whether we're saved or whether we're lost. And they're the only two conditions. There's no middle ground. God's things are very definite, you know, might say, if we look at things simply. I'm not saying there's aspects of the Bible you might not understand, but the basics of the Bible and the gospel are very definite, and we're either lost or saved, lost or found. And here, the end of this passage, "God therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, now enjoins men that they shall all everywhere repent." We live in the day of grace, when souls have an opportunity to get right with God. God has spared us from judgment. A time will come when this world will be done away with. A time will come when our lives will come to an end. But if we haven't already, now is the well-accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. At this moment, we can put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus and repent towards God. Puts it in one verse later on, testifying to both Jews and Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to come to the end of ourselves, realise in ourselves no good does dwell, turn from idols to serve a living and true God. Put simply, for the younger ones, we need to say sorry for our sins. And the second part of that verse was, and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. We can only come to know this if we realise that Jesus did all this work on the cross. That God, in the fullness of time, he sent forth his Son. This was God's plan for redemption, for us being, souls being bought. How God created us, and how, I might say, how we can be bought as well, purchased. And he sent forth his Son to die on the cross, to exhaust God's wrath for sin. Think of the 3 hours he went through at the hands of man. Man was responsible for his death, but think especially the 3 hours of darkness. How in those 3 hours, if we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, how the judgment that was due to me and you, how he bore this himself on the tree. The just died for the unjust. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It took the perfect shed blood of the Lord Jesus to make us favourable in God's eyes, God's sight. When he looks upon the converted believer in the Lord Jesus, God sees the finished work of the Lord Jesus. All the claims have been met, our sins have been dealt with. We can only approach God in the worth of the Lord Jesus and think how he gave up his life. It is finished. It is all done. And the soldier pierced his side and outflowed the water and the blood. And then we think how he was buried for 3 days, and on the third day he rose again. Conquered death, conquered Satan, triumphed, victorious. Too powerful, too mighty. Satan must have thought he'd overcome Jesus. Think how he tried to deceive him in the wilderness, the 40 days. We think how the four Gospels would show the perfection of the Lord Jesus in his pathway down here, where he came to do his Father's will. He came to die on the cross. And then he rose on the third day, and after 40 days he ascended to be at the Father's right hand, and now seated. All the work done, place of authority and honour, place that is his due. I read lastly, quite often, it's one of my favourite passages in the Gospel, in how clear it is, the warning here in Luke 16. We have this rich man making good cheer in splendour every day. Think how people that have accumulated much wealth, how thankful they should be to God for in one way of giving them so much. But having other passages, how difficult it is. How difficultly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? I think there's another passage about a rich fool. That was about the young ruler. But there's many things I alluded to earlier that get in the way of one's salvation. Whether it be business, whether it be sport, other things this world would offer to get in the way. But they are irrelevant compared to salvation, being saved, and coming to know God. And here we have the poor man. We have two opposites here, but he knew God. And here, no doubt much was made of the burial of the rich man, but of the poor man, when he died, he was carried away by the angels into the bosom of Abraham. And here we have a picture of what it must surely be like for souls that die in their sins, of missed opportunities, no doubt, and they will have to bear the judgment for their sins. No escaping that. God desires that we should all be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. He does not desire the death of a sinner. And he has made a way that it does not need to be the case that we should be raised in our sins. We can be raised in the finished work of the Lord Jesus. Just thinking of that passage in 2 Corinthians 5. Him who knew not sin, he has made sin for us that we might become God's righteousness in him. At this point here, it's too late. The gospel goes out. It's another opportunity for souls that haven't already put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus to do so before it's too late. May each one hear for his name's sake. Amen.